Blog Talk Radio.
Going into the corner, Gordie Howe goes in to fight for it. He and Zygenkov have it. Back to Walt, not in front. Here's Bobby Hull, shoots, scores! Bobby Hull!
Junot trying to make a play. Lemieux steals, and he's up against Raymond Bork and Adam Oates. Coming to the Bruins, they got around both men, cutting for the net. He's in on goal. Hey! Charlton scores! What a goal!
Brunet carries in, rolling in front of the net, and a shot! Desjardins following the play, and he misses the short shot. Here he is again. Scores! Desjardins! It is power waiting.
All right, hockey fans, you're listening to the hard-checking, kick-saving, sudden-death scoring NHL breakdown. I'm your host, Scott Levy, joined as always by George Kurtz of RotoExperts.com. We're bringing all the on and off ice action, as well as keeping you fans and you fantasy owners fully informed at the top of your respective leagues with our fantasy reports, including the IR goalie report, line updates, and waiver wire recommendations. Today is, of course, December 14th, Friday, creeping closer and closer to the NHL trade freeze for the holidays, the Christmas trade freeze. And interestingly enough, excuse me, a little bit sick today, lots of trade talk and banter going around the league, of the hockey icons when it comes to covering hockey in terms of Bob McKenzie, Pierre LeBrun, Darren Drieger, all reporting that there is a lot of trade talk, a lot of trade rumor bouncing around the NHL, much more than usual at this time of year. Having said that, all of them are saying we're not really expecting any sort of big, trading to happen before the NHL holiday trade freeze. But it is certainly noticeable that there's a lot more clubs than usual talking and banding things about. Still certainly possible that something could happen. Again, nobody's predicting any sort of trade blockbuster. But partially because of that, one of the things we'll talk about today, at least in a preliminary sense, is some of these teams that are actively shopping and actively looking to acquire some talent, move some players, some of the teams that look like maybe they're having disappointing seasons, particularly unexpected disappointing seasons. And one of the reasons why I want to have this conversation with George and maybe Jan Levine, who's going to try and join us a little bit later on in the show if possible, one of the reasons why I have it right now is because I kind of want to get ahead of the curve, especially for your fantasy owners, to sort of plant those seeds in your minds that maybe players you may or may not want to target, maybe players you might want to offload, and just for you fans out there, maybe just sort of stoke the excitement of the trade season, which does tend to pick up after the new year, maybe a little bit more accurately as we get closer and closer to the All-Star break, which, as we all know, George and I love so much, the All-Star break. We think it's such a quality quality way to spend your time. Anyway, enough pontificating for me. Let's jump right in to things as we usually do with the fantasy report, starting off with the IR lines report, assuming that is I can breathe through the whole thing. But starting in Anaheim, Raquel, with that ankle injury that we have been talking about for the last couple of shows, was put on the IR. It looks like he is going to be out for sure through the Christmas break. While he's out, Kase has moved up to the top line with Getzlaff and Aberg, and I think a lot of you have probably heard already that at least initially it's a boon for Kase as he has a hat trick in his first game back up at the top line. Yes, he's been there a few times for a game here and game there. In recent weeks, recently acquired Spawn moves down to the second line with Henrik and Brent Ritchie for the Arizona Coyotes. Galchenyuk, with a lower body injury, has got him listed as day-to-day. Missed the last two, is doubtful for tonight. Looks like Kraus is the guy taking his place until he returns to the lineup. For the Boston Bruins, DeBrusque, we talked about it on Monday's show, and I speculated that it could have been a concussion. They just said it was an upper body injury. He had gotten hit in the head with a puck, so it just sort of two and two seems to make sense. They have confirmed that he is in the concussion protocol, still listed day-to-day. He's saying he's feeling better as opposed to earlier this week. It's still going to be at least a few games before he gets back into the lineup for sure, but it's certainly trending in the right direction. And sort of interestingly, it does look like maybe, and I know this is a little preliminary, it's only been about three games since they've been put together, but the Boston's got a new kid line. For Zbaka, Carlson, Heinen, and Donato, they have a combined 8 points the last three games. They're not setting the world on fire, but they've been playing a really nice two-way game. And again, even if they continue producing, and have these first three games together, it's not necessarily going to solve their scoring depth problem, but certainly would help. But it's certainly a line to keep your eye on, whether you're a fan or to a lesser extent, if you're in a deeper hockey league for fantasy-wise, keep your eye open on this. Also, tidbits and updating some injury issues. Char with the MCL sprain was skating, as well as Bergeron. They are still considered, this isn't sort of like, oh, they're progressing ahead of schedule. They're going to be back in the lineup, although Bergeron does have that reputation, so you never know with him. And Char is expected back a lot sooner than Bergeron, but certainly nice to hear that they are progressing nicely. In Calgary, Backlund with that concussion injury, he's progressing nicely, although it is expected that he'll be out through the Christmas break as well. Derek Ryan is the guy replacing him as a second-line center, at least for right now. In Carolina, Michael Furlan with that concussion issue, I talked about how he's practicing, and it looks like he was going to get back in the lineup pretty quickly. He did get back in the lineup. You might have heard this on Tuesday, playing on one of the lower lines, and about halfway through the games, he said, you know what, I'm not really feeling too well. And they took the cautious approach and immediately pulled him from the game just to be safe. He was back in practice the very next day. They put him through concussion protocol, which he cleared. Doesn't necessarily mean he's getting right back in the lineup as just because it cleared concussion protocol, but it's certainly nice to see that it doesn't look like it got any worse and they rushed him back too soon. And actually, there's been a number of people around the NHL that's sort of patting the Carolina Hurricanes on the back for the way that they handled this and not really taking any chances with Furland. In Chicago, and I know, hey, it's Chicago. It's getting pretty ugly there, despite that nice win that they had against the Pittsburgh Penguins the other day to break their 8-game losing streak. But we have Anisimov out with that concussion issue himself, although he was put on the IR retroactively with skating today, so it doesn't seem like he's going to be back sooner than later. And again, I'm not saying that he's going to be back in the next game or two, but it doesn't look like it's going to be weeks and weeks. But because he is out, they put Strome and DeBrincat back on the second line with Patrick Kane, and Kuhn, who had started the season on the top line with Taze, now back there with Taze and Brendan Staid as well. In Colorado, Kerfoot with an upper body injury, he's got to miss his day-to-day, missed one, and it looks like he is likely out for the weekend there. Also, Kamenev with a shoulder surgery, it lands him on the IR. Again, not two really consequential players, at least from a fantasy aspect, but it is notable that alluding to young players, at least for the moment, thins out the crowd there in Colorado. For the Detroit Red Wings, Mike Breen, lower body injury is going to keep him out 3 to 5 weeks. And now, again, fantasy-wise, Mike Breen's certainly not the player that he used to be, but it is notable that, and I misplaced the actual statistic right in front of me, Detroit Red Wings are over 500 with Mike Breen in the lineup. And I believe they are, if I remember correctly, 1-6-2 without him in the lineup. So it's certainly a significant loss for the Detroit Red Wings, even though Mike Breen isn't the player that he used to be. In Edmonton, Cliff bumps and hand injuries, Lansom's on the IR. He is out for weeks, as well as Chris Russell, undisclosed injury that lands him on the IR, so losing two defensemen is significant for the Edmonton Oilers, even though they have been playing very, very well. Although it does seem like it could have some side benefits for some other players, which we might talk about a little bit later in the show. In Florida, it looks like they're bouncing around Dandanov and Hoffman between the first and second line. Seems like every other game they're switching them back and forth. Right now, it does look like Hoffman's back up on the top line with Barkov and Huberdov, with Dandanov moving back down second line with McCain and Greco, who made his NHL debut last night for the Florida Panthers. Bjugstad with the upper body injury that had him list his day-to-day, didn't go on a two-game road trip with the team. They were looking at the beginning of the week as this Saturday Toronto home game for him to return. Has not been confirmed. That's still the hope. But like I said, has not been confirmed. If he is back in the lineup as expected, he'll be on the second line. But again, that's very speculative as of right now. For the LA Kings, if they didn't have enough problems already, Fanu for the upper body injuries got him listed as day-to-day, but he was sent back to LA while they're on this road trip. So he missed one game, already officially out for Saturday since he's back in LA. We'll get an update over the weekend to see how bad that injury is as well. And speaking of injuries, for the Minnesota Wild, we talked about that Giordano hit on Koivu. It looked pretty bad. But it looks like ultimately it's not going to be too serious for Koivu. Listed as day-to-day, missed the last three games. He is skating. Earlier in the day, Boudreaux said it's possible he'll play tomorrow. And then later in the day, more recently, about an hour and a half ago, Koivu said, yeah, probably not tomorrow. But it does look like the 18th, their next game, is realistic for him to come back. And even if he doesn't come back for that game, still, ultimately, he sort of survived a scare. We know knee on knee injuries, can be devastating. Koivu said, I know my body. I knew I was injured right away, but it doesn't look like it's too bad. So certainly the Minnesota Wild dodging a bullet yesterday. Speaking of yesterday, as I was trying to transition very sloppily, I tweeted out some of this information yesterday. The Nashville Predators getting Turris back in the lineup, playing the second line as expected for him in between Yarncock and Craig Smith. Forsberg and Arvidsson, we have an update there too as well. They are expected to be out another 3 weeks before they return. But when it comes to PK Subban, his upper body injury, they are targeting his return next week. Now, targeting, that's not a sort of a guarantee, but look for midweek return for PK Subban. For the New Jersey Devils, Taylor Hall with the lower body injury is a game time decision tonight. For the New York Rangers, Shattenkirk, a shoulder injury has got him out 2 to 4 weeks, but they are getting Zuccarello and Buchnevich back into the lineup tonight. I know everybody around the NHL is now running scared because of this, but it does look like Zuccarello is going to be on the top line with the Binnegan and Hedo, Hayes, Kreider, and Buchnevich. Looks like it's going to be the second line. Tweaking things up a little bit line-wise, in Philadelphia, we told you on Monday, JVR back up on the top line with Giroux and Konecny with Couturier out. Well, Couturier's back, and that moves Nolan Patrick, who really hasn't been doing anything this year, at least lately. He's now your second line, so they're trying to spread out the offense, centering Voracek and Raffle. Nolan Patrick moves down to center the third line with Wayne Simmonds and Lawton. And this could have a possible positive effect on the goal scoring, specifically for Couturier playing with Voracek, who's certainly very much of a setup man. Couturier sort of playing a little bit more of the setup man for Giroux, well, even though he scored just fine last year in that role, playing on the top line with Giroux last year with the 30 goals. But this year so far, hadn't been scoring quite as well. That could kick up his goal scoring a notch for Couturier. In Pittsburgh, Hornquist, you talked about on Monday with his injury and that he was day-to-day. Well, his upper body injury has landed him on the IR, although Jason Mackey, beat writer for the Pittsburgh Penguins, did say, even though he's on the IR, he's basically considered day-to-day. He has missed three games. It's probably going to be at least another couple of games before he gets back, but it does seem sooner rather than later, as opposed to Dominic Simon with his lower body injury still on the IR. He is still considered week-to-week, even though we're about a week and a half in to his injury. Tweaking up the lines there as well as Pearson is getting an opportunity on the top line with Crosby and Gunsell. Malkin, Austin Reese, and Kessel is your second line for the Pittsburgh Penguins for their next upcoming game. For the St. Louis Blues, Alex Steen makes his way back up into the top six, playing with O'Reilly and Tarasenko. And as I mentioned on Monday, they put that Shen, Schwartz, and Perron line back together. Sanford, healthy scratch, gets bumped out of the top six. Edmonton, also a game-time decision for the St. Louis Blues as well. And finally, in Vegas, couple of interesting moves here. Paul Stastny coming back a little bit sooner than some people expected. He will be playing tonight on the second line, centering Alex Tuch and Oscar Lindberg, because Max Pacioretty has been confirmed to be a healthy scratch tonight. certainly a little bit of a surprise, I think, for most people that Pietrangelo gets the healthy scratch. But Gallant said, hey, we got some people coming back in the lineup. Haven't been thrilled with how Pietrangelo's playing. He's going to sit for a game. All right, folks, there's the IR and line support as we turn our attention to George and the goalie report. And George, the last goalie report was actually, you know, not too bad, you know, but it's just been like a roller coaster ride with the goalies this year. Is it a little bit more of a roller ride for today's goalie report, you know, with some more comings and goings, so to speak, with the goalies, or is it back to that? Not too bad goalie reports. George, what do you got to tell us what's happening around the between the pipes around the NHL?
All right, around the NHL, he starts off pretty good here. We have a lot of goalies who returned. As everybody saw, Vasilevskiy returned last night, had a fantastic game versus Toronto Maple Leafs, made 48 saves, only allowed a single goal, looked like Gumby at times. Good, Vasilevskiy's back healthy. Immediately get him back in your lineup. I know some fans will be upset that he came back on a Thursday. Maybe it was weekly lineup league. You didn't put him in. We didn't know he was coming back on Monday. It was a weird situation. As I mentioned last week, we heard conflicting reports. One day he was going to be out, you know, the additional 2 weeks. The next day, oh, you know, he's going back, return to practice. Strange situation, but he's back. You're good to go there. Same thing with Buffalo and Carter Hutton. He returned as well. You can get him back in your lineup. So you're good with Vasilevskiy, good with Hutton there. Two starting goaltenders have returned. Matt Murray's also returned to Pittsburgh, but Casey DeSmith is still in net. DeSmith playing well here. It's pretty much if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of thing. DeSmith is going to start tonight. They theorize, or whatever they, I don't know who really they is, but they theorize that that means Murray goes tomorrow. They are playing back-to-back games. It does make some sense here that Murray would get the Kings tomorrow. We'll see what happens there. So either way, DeSmith tonight, Murray is expected to start tomorrow, but this is not written in stone. Toronto Maple Leafs, they've signed Ian Scott, their young prospect, who's tearing it up down there. 2-3-year entry-level deal there, so Ian Scott signed there. Once again, no threat to Frederick Anderson, not even a threat to Garrett Sparks, but they signed him. Calgary. Interesting news here. Mike Smith, he's unavailable with an undisclosed injury. He's out of the lineup. John Gillies has been recalled from the AHL. And David Rittich is definitely going to start tomorrow. The injury to Smith, they haven't put him on IR, so it doesn't seem to be a significant long-term injury, but Smith is not likely to play this weekend. They have back-to-back games Saturday and Sunday. Perhaps Gillies gets that start Sunday. Perhaps they go back-to-back to Rittich, and he gets both starts. Rittich hasn't played quite as well of late as he was earlier this season, so we'll see here. Now that he's going to get some run again for at least the next little while with Mike Smith out of the lineup. Devils, Schneider starts tonight. Kincaid starts tomorrow. It's a back-to-back situation. The starting goaltender for the Devils is Kincaid. Now, Schneider has just been nothing short of terrible. I mean, really, you know, you wonder, I mean, why? You don't see this in any real sports unless the injury is significant. And whatever injury he Schneider had last year wasn't expected to be significant. And where his level of play is just, I mean, dropped off the planet. So weird situation. He doesn't have a win in almost a calendar year. I know a lot of that's due to injuries last year, but he's been healthy this year and still can't win. His goals against average is just pathetic. Well, you can't start him no way, no how here. But Schneider starting tomorrow, Kincaid. Schneider starting tonight, I'm sorry. Kincaid starting tomorrow there. Philadelphia, they're also a mess once again. Shocking. Elliott. Had to go back to Philadelphia. Most are assuming it's because he had a setback with that injury. He had an emergency appointment to go check it out. No word yet on what's going on there. But like I said, they expect that he did suffer some kind of relapse, some kind of a re-injury or whatever it might be there, which is a shame because it looked like he was close to returning here. Mikhail Neuvirth is away from the team as his wife is expecting the birth of their child, so congratulations to the Neuvirths. Alex Lyon has been recalled. Stolarz is your goaltender there. People wondering about the youngster, Mr. Hart. He's playing better at the AHL. Now, there was some feeling when Hextall got fired that part of the reason was because he didn't want to call up Hart. He thought it was too early. Most in the NHL believe Hextall was correct in this, that Hart's not ready. He was playing poorly at the AHL. And depending on how you view that, some people believe you have to ace the AHL. And if you listen to the NHL Network the other night, Darren Pang was saying he believes you need 60 to 100 games and you're the best goalie in the AHL. You've mastered that league before you get called up to the NHL. Now, some people may feel that's too much. Back Pang's more old school, where he was down there for 3 years. Generally, you're not going to do that in this day and age. They call you up much sooner here. But I'll let you know what's going on here. There may be a tug of war there. Hart is playing better, but it's a very small sample size. I think his last six games now, he's got a shutout, got some wins there. He looks better. Maybe the confidence has returned there, but we'll see. Edmonton, Mikko Koskinen is going to start tonight. Carolina, Matt Kulhenny, he was taken off the IR. It's another one of these strange situations. They took him off the IR, but they still consider him day-to-day. Well, then why did you take him off the IR? You know, strange. Because usually when a goaltender gets taken off the IR, he's immediately getting back in it. Just the way it is. You know, no reason to have him as a backup. He's usually, it's strange. But Matt Kulhenny was taken off IR, but it's still, once again, Mrazek's your starter there. So, weird. Pittsburgh, by the way, Jarry was sent back down to the AHL when I mentioned Murray's back. Same thing with Edward Pasquale for the Tampa Bay Lightning. He's down to the AHL. We talked about this on Monday. We didn't know the severity of the injury then, but Ryan Miller, the backup to John Gibson, does have an MCL injury out for about 6 weeks, which means you might see him February, late January. They've scrambled now to realize, I guess, to find a backup goaltender to Gibson here. Otherwise, like Gibson's going to start the majority of these games with how a team's playing there. They acquired Jeff Glass from Toronto. They also claimed Chad Johnson off the waiver wire from the Blues. Chad Johnson will be your backup there for at least the next little while, with Glass going down to the AHL to give them some depth there. But that's what's going on there. Miller probably out to late January, February. Chad Johnson will back up John Gibson until we get that. Scott Wedgwood also for Buffalo sent down to the AHL. Boston, Halak's going to start tonight. Boston, they don't have back-to-back games, so it's a little strange that Rask isn't in there, but still, that's what's going on there. And Colorado, we're expecting that Grubauer was going to start tonight, although they have not announced that yet. So to the injury, there's no major injuries here except for Ryan Miller, but no one's starting him anyway. So you're not really in terrible shape. You know, Mike Smith is probably the most annoying one because he had just started to play better now. He had just started to play better, and then boom. He's out, but we don't expect this to be a long-term injury. Ryan Elliott, let's see, he's been out so long that you probably survived without him anyway. And let's face it, he's nothing but a low-end goalie to your fantasy team. You should have been okay there in the first place.
Well, you're right. At least it wasn't a terrible, upsetting, or stressful goalie report, at least for fantasy owners, but certainly a lot of key information there. One little tidbit I did hear about McElhinney earlier today was the fact that once they took him off the IR, he was back at practice, but he didn't feel well. Like, they didn't call it a setback, you know, from the beat writer that I talked with, but he you know, it didn't go well. And I think that might have, you know, sort of might be at least some of the reasoning for it playing out that way. But I completely agree with you that it's a little bit weird there.
Then maybe you should have had him practice before you take him off the IR. Maybe.
Yeah,
it's just me, but hey, I mean, do what you
want
to do.
No argument here for me on that, but, you know, yes, it certainly is playing out a little a bit weird for sure. George, let me ask you, you know, a little bit of a speculative question, and this is, and I'm just asking this for, like, deeper leagues. If you happen to have an extra roster spot, you know, because I don't think it's that big of a deal, but you brought up Hart. And I was sort of reading a little bit of up on the Philadelphia Flyers a little while ago, and Hart himself was quoted as saying, you know, hey, I feel like I've sort of gotten my footing, and I am hoping for a call-up, you know, just as you know, were sort of talking about there. Considering the Philadelphia Flyers situation, do you think it's worth a speculative, pickup, or is it too speculative to really sort of make that move? You know, and again, I'm not talking about like a standard league where you're, you know, kind of okay in goaltending. I'm talking about like a deeper league, like if you're, you know, and you maybe have some questionable goaltending that you're searching a little bit for. Is it worth it there, or do you think it's too much of an up-in-the-air thing to really bother to make a move like that? George?
Well, as with most moves like this, it comes down to do you have a dead spot on your roster? You know, a spot that maybe you're carrying, you know, we start four defensive, maybe you're carrying six. Yeah, and that sixth defenseman, okay, you can release him and maybe pick up Hart to see what happens here. Do I think he's going to get called up? I think Philadelphia's feeling the pressure. You know, the season's not going well. Obviously, they fired Hextall. You know, Lord knows what's next going to happen there. But the problem is this. This is Philadelphia. It is not an easy sports town. You're talking what? Maybe the three hardest sports towns in the United States are Philly, Boston, New York. You know, in Philadelphia, Hart is their future. You bring him up too early, and he spits the bit, the fans won't forgive him, and that can ruin a young goaltender. So I think you need to be real careful here. If I'm Philadelphia, you need to be real careful before you start doing something that reeks of desperate. I mean, of course, the player's going to say he's ready. He wants to get called up and play in the majors. You know, that means really very little to me is what the player says. I understand the season is somewhat slipping away. Listen, it's not gone yet. Flyers have 28 points. You know, they're in, what, seventh place in the division, but they're only 4 points out of fourth. They're only 2 games behind the Penguins, and they have a game in hand. So it's not like they're desperate here. And one of those teams that are ahead, you know, a couple of those teams that are ahead of them aren't very good teams. You know, the Islanders have been dropping for a while. I would continue to think that would happen. Carolina Hurricanes maybe not be able to hold on. Flyers are in okay shape here. It's just that, like I just put the goaltending report in Philadelphia again. It seems like every 2 weeks we get something like this. You know, Nuverv's out for the baby. Elliott has a setback. And, of course, these goalies weren't very good to begin with. You know, this is a problem. In my mind, this is one of the reasons we talked about this when Hextall got fired. That Hextall got fired. And he did nothing to solidify this, which is strange for a goaltender himself. He has to know how important that position is, yet he did nothing. You know, you went to the season again with this. So I don't think Hart's ready. I may not agree with Darren Pang about, you know, well, you need to be down there for 100 games and ace it. I think that's probably too long in today's game, but 3 to 6 games isn't enough. He was bad earlier this year. He was bad. Yes, over the past 7 to 10 days, he's been better. I think I would need to see at least another 2 months of good play before I'm calling him up. But the problem is, I'll say it again, Philadelphia, that fan base, the media, they're not patient. You know, they want things to happen now. And as I say over and over again, Scott, goaltending to me is like quarterback in football. Without one, you can't win. And with the goalies the Flyers have now, they can't win, at least not consistently. So I do wonder if they're going to feel the pressure to call him up. I do. I don't think they will. I think it's the wrong move. Now that you have a veteran GM in place, I think he knows that. And he won't do that. But I do wonder if something has to be done. And if they can't make a trade for somebody, and you and I both know how hard it is to trade for an established goaltender, if they're not going to go get Jimmy Howard, who's a name I hear that's out there, and I think they want a number one pick for Howard, Detroit. And if somebody clicks on that, you know, bing, you win the prize, you get Howard. If they don't want to do that, then solution number two may indeed be calling up Connor Hart and sort of seeing what happens, hoping for the best. I think that's dangerous with the goaltender, especially a goaltender you think is the goalie of your future.
I agree with you 1,000%. But I think the two things that are playing on my mind, you both just mentioned, the how difficult it is to get an established goalie during the season, unless, you know, it's those occasional situations where you have a true 1A, 1AA, you know, situation where you have two legit, you know, starting goaltenders on your team and you need something, so you're willing to trade one of those guys. You know, but you look around the NHL and it really doesn't seem like that's the case anywhere this season. So, you know, and again, you know, I heard the same thing. Detroit's looking for a number one for Howard. I don't know if I'm doing that in general. I mean, if you're Philadelphia, you're feeling pressure, maybe you're thinking about it. But, you know, you have the new GM. You got the pressure to sort of make a move. There's really not too many options out there, and it's Philadelphia. So, and you're just not getting any traction with any of these guys. I mean, like, you know, Stolarz played actually a reasonably good game for most of the game in Calgary, and then they gave up 3 goals in the last minute and 38 seconds to lose 6-5 to Calgary the other night in overtime. It was painful to watch. And earlier in that third period, you know, if you hadn't watched the game, the Flyers had like 4 penalties, 8 minutes of penalty time that kill off. Stolarz was great, and then he was just exhausted at the game. I'm not completely absolving him. But, you know, because I do think he was somewhat responsible there, but also the team was responsible there. It just collapsed, you know, and that was basically better goaltending than you've been getting from the rest of your guys. Elliott, when he was healthy, you know, Neuwirth has barely been in the lineup, you know. So, you know, Lyon, you know, had like 1 good game and then looked terrible after that. So I just see the pressure mounting that it's just playing in the back of my mind. It's playing in the back of my mind. And, George, I agree with you 100%, but I suspect if they can't trade for a goaltender in the next couple of weeks, I suspect it's going to happen. All right, follow-up question that always comes after the goalie report is looking for goalie recommendations. George, I'm wondering if this is the opposite of last week. Last week there was basically nothing really good or appealing to stream for goaltenders to cover an injury or just get the extra goalie start if you're sort of a weekly head-to-head type of setup. But this week – we have 19 teams that have 2 games this week, 2/3 of the league. is playing twice this weekend. 10 of those are back-to-back situations. So is there anything that jumps out at you, a low-owned number one goalie or those backup goalies that's going to get a start in a back-to-back situation that you particularly like for someone who's looking to pick up an extra goalie start this weekend? George?
Yeah, I got to tell you, it's not pretty. I'll say it again. I think the reason why is because some of these backups have played so well, they've taken over the starting job, that a lot of these guys are already gone. In the case of Smith, he's perfect, but he's already gone. As I assume he is. Maybe you don't want to release him earlier this week when Marius was activated. It's quite possible. He's a pickup because of what they're playing Boston tonight. He's going to start, but he's probably not. Riddick, almost the same thing. And once again, maybe he was released when Mike Smith came back and started playing well, but in most leagues, he's probably still gone. But if Riddick or Smith is out there, they're by far your first two choices. I mean, it's not even close. You look at the other teams now that are playing two games this weekend. Arizona, it's not back-to-back. Aiden Hill, we talked about this on Monday. You should be grabbing him anyway. He's a starting goaltender now. Ranta is gone for the rest of what we assume is the rest of the season. So you should be grabbing him. Excuse me. Hutton's back. So even though how about Buffalo? Let's go Buffalo. Button. I don't know where I got that from. So even though Buffalo is playing back-to-back, are you going to go with Ullmark against Boston? I assume Hutton gets tomorrow versus Washington. I mean, I'm not thrilled about that, but Ullmark, Buffalo's playing great. You know, they look like a playoff team here. So Ullmark is an option against the Bruins. Bruins are a banged-up team, and they really are. Bergeron may be back next week or the week after, but they're still a banged-up team. So I wouldn't be afraid of doing that, especially with your other options here. Calgary, you already mentioned, it could be Riddick for both. I don't think I'd go down to Gillies. If he's going to start for St. Louis, I'd be probably pretty desperate. I don't like throwing guys in there that we haven't seen in a long time. Carolina, Mrazek for both. Washington and Arizona. Once you guys get two starts, at least we think you get it. Yeah, I guess I couldn't say for sure. McElhinney could be back, I suppose, but that would be somewhat of a gamble. What if you get Mrazek tonight against Washington? Doesn't do so well because you want him from the start Sunday against Arizona, but McElhinney gets that start. Well, then you sort of eat it there, so that's not good. Chicago will pass. Detroit, we already talked about Jimmy Howard. Certainly an option. I mean, the two teams they're playing, Detroit, they're playing Ottawa tonight, Islanders tomorrow. Neither team scores a lot of goals. So no matter which one you get Howard for, that's not so bad. Even if you had to drop down to Jonathan Bernier, not so bad. And that game tomorrow, Detroit Islanders, I would expect that to be a heavily penalty-filled game. You know, so there might be one danger there as well. I think there'll be a lot of the hit that Cromwell laid on Anders Lee last week. And Barry Trotz saying today, this is a quote from Barry Trotz. Someone asked him, did he talk to his players about what happened? He goes, no, we'll let them figure it out on the ice. Okay. That's pretty much telling you it's going to be fight night I don't know if it's at Barclays or the Coliseum tomorrow, but fight night tomorrow night, Red Wings and Islanders. That should be interesting. Edmonton, I think we'll pass there. Devils, I'm not starting Schneider. I can't do it. No way. Rangers, I think Lundqvist probably gets both. He hasn't had that much work recently. Ottawa will pass. Philadelphia will certainly pass. Pittsburgh, we just talked about. St. Louis, no. Vancouver, no. You know, everything's no. Vegas, no. Winnipeg, no. Washington, it's another option. Yeah, Copley, but he's probably getting that Buffalo team. Second half of back-to-back nights for the Capitals. You really want to go there? And I like Copley. Don't love him, but I like Copley. But I don't think it's a great option for him. So I think, once again, we're going to go with the goalies we mentioned here. I think if Aiden Hill is there, you have to grab him. That's a good starter long-term. You know, that's one less position you have to worry about. Not a great team, no, but still, starting goalies don't come around very often. If an owner who got their starter back and release the Riddick or the Smith, well, then your problem's solved. You go out and grab one or both, and you can go with that. As far as guys who are lower-owned, Ullmark against Boston, not afraid of it, and Jimmy Howard, because the matchups, whichever one he gets, I don't think he'll get both. I think Bernier will get one. So, actually, you can make an argument to grab Jonathan Bernier as well. But either way, you have good matchups, Ottawa and the Islanders, both teams struggling to score goals.
Yeah, I've got to say, George, I totally agree with you that the landscape of streaming goaltenders is not fantastic. But that's actually, in my mind, not too bad, you know, with some of the situations, the Detroit situation, given their schedule this weekend. Ullmark, you make really good points on. And I think at least for a good 50% of leagues out there, you know, the Smith, Riddick, you know, and also Hill, that you mentioned, you know, there's a reasonable chance that these guys will be out there for some of the reasons that you said, particularly for, you know, the Calgary situation, you know, because I do think that there are some leagues there that Riddick was dropped, you know, in the last week, considering Mike Smith was asserting himself. So again, I agree with you. I'm not all a tizzy, so to speak, with those options, but I'm also not depressed about those options for the goaltenders turning our attention to the skater recommendations. Of those teams that are playing two games this week, teams that jump out at me, listen, I know Boston's not scoring a huge amount lately, but, you know, you're playing, you know, kind of a struggling Pittsburgh team and a Buffalo team that is playing well, but they're sort of coming back down to earth a little bit after that 10-game winning streak a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, I'm looking at Boston to possibly stream a player from Calgary playing Minnesota and St. Louis is intriguing to me, and Ottawa, because they have been scoring reasonably well, Detroit and Montreal, especially since they lost to Montreal. It's such a rivalry. I think they're going to want a little revenge there. They jump out at me. And, of course, you know, Winnipeg was playing Chicago. You know, before Vasilevsky's game last night, I was a little bit more encouraged, you know, because, you know, if Domingue was playing, Domingue has been getting wins, but he hasn't exactly been keeping teams to one goal a game. So that was a little bit more appealing. But playing Chicago and Tampa Bay, that's a possibility as well. So those are the teams that sort of jump out at me if you're looking to get two games in this week from streaming a player. If you're looking for a one-off Winnipeg against Chicago tonight, particularly Washington against the Carolina Hurricanes, I like as well. Saturday, I know most of you daily league owners have a pretty full schedule. It's not always full, but if you are looking to fill a hole for Saturday, Ottawa and the Montreal, it looks like they're with the Islanders. I actually like both teams here, you know, to stream from if you're looking to fill a hole on Saturday. Toronto playing Florida is also intriguing for Saturday. On Sunday, Calgary against St. Louis, San Jose against Chicago. Those two teams I like if I'm looking to fill a hole for Sunday. If you're looking for specific player recommendations, you know, we don't always have defensemen that we have, you know, to really suggest, you know, especially for streaming, short-term streaming purposes. But I got two for this weekend. Darren Nurse, I mentioned a couple of injuries there for the Edmonton Oilers for the defense. Darren Nurse replacing Cliff Baum on the top pairing, playing 30 minutes a night the last two games for the Edmonton Oilers. The defenseman only 44% owned on average in ESPN and Yahoo leagues in the last five games. 3 goals, 3 assists, a power play goal, 3.5 shots a goal per game, playing Philadelphia and Vancouver. Both are home games. And even starting off next week, you're playing St. Louis. And actually next week, you have St. Louis, Tampa Bay, and Vancouver. Of those five games, you know, if you're looking for more than just this weekend, the Tampa Bay game is the only one that's sort of intimidating, that doesn't look like a good matchup. But how about also Duncan Keith? The Chicago defenseman's only 50% owned on ESPN and Yahoo leagues on average. Last five games, he's got 5 assists, a +3, 3 shots on goal per game from a defenseman playing Winnipeg and San Jose this weekend. Okay, the matchups don't ring as being fabulous, but he is sort of a little bit hot lately, so he is intriguing to me. If you're looking for a couple of forwards, how about David Krejci? The Boston Bruins, the center's only 36% owned on average in ESPN and Yahoo leagues, but as we know, he's now centering the top line between Marchand and Pasternak in the last four games. 2 goals, 5 assists, +8. Playing that Pittsburgh team that is not exactly playing at the top of their game right now, and Buffalo, and even bleeding into next week, you're playing a Montreal team and an Anaheim team. And yes, Anaheim's hot, but those injuries are piling up. You know, and you are having some injuries at goaltending. Yes, Gibson is still very good, but you don't have that backup. So he could also be a pretty good streamer for more than just this weekend. And Matthew Perrault for the Winnipeg Jets, he is center, left wing, and right wing eligible, at least in Yahoo leagues, only 4% owned on average in ESPN and Yahoo leagues. In the last seven games, 2 goals, 4 assists, +4. 3 power play points, 2 of those are power play goals, averaging 2 hits per game. You got Chicago and Tampa Bay for this weekend, and even looking at next week, L.A., San Jose, and Vancouver. 2 of those 3 games look pretty good as well. And just a little bit of a teaser for next week, because they're only playing one game this weekend, and it is on Saturday, so again, it's not that appealing for this weekend, but getting an early start to looking towards next week. Andrew Shaw, the Montreal Canadiens center and right-wing eligible player, at least in Yahoo leagues, only 26% owned on average in ESPN and Yahoo. And in the last 6 games, 2 goals, 4 assists, +5, 12 penalty minutes, 2.5 shots on goal per game, 3 hits per game average on that span, playing with Domi and Drew in a pretty good line. They got Ottawa this weekend, but next week, when you got Boston, Colorado, and Arizona, could be a particularly appealing pickup for you as well. All right, folks, that is the Fantasy Report for this Friday, December 14th. George, we've probably got about 8 minutes or so, so we're not going to really talk about all the teams and players I sort of listed on my email to you that sort of intrigued me. But before I even delve in specifically to the teams and the players that are kind of, you know, widely rumored, at least in the last week or so, fantasy hockey perspective, how much are you looking to target players, whether it's picking them up off the waiver wire or maybe trading them from other teams, players that are sort of widely expected, or at least, you know, their names being bandied about actively on the waiver wire? I mean, is this a particular focus for you? Are you making room on your roster for this kind of player if you personally feel they got a good chance of being traded to a better situation? Or is it more of a, okay, yeah, it's something I'm interested in the back of my mind, you know, but it's not something I'm going out of my way to sort of target and make sure I get a hold of now early? Because I'm thinking of a guy specifically, and there's a bunch of guys I can mention here, but a guy like Jeff Carter. We know how much of a cluster you-know-what L.A. is becoming right now. And L.A., there's some speculation that they're really on the verge of sort of trying to, quote-unquote, lose for Hughes, Jack Hughes. You know they consider the best, you know, prospect, at least as of right now, in this upcoming draft. You know, so a name like Jeff Carter is one of the names I have listed. You know, and he, I think, is a perfect example for this, because right now his value isn't all that great, you know, and he's not producing all that much. But if L.A. is going to say, hey, you know, we pretty much got everybody, anybody we'll talk about, except for Kopitar and Doughty, anybody else is on the table. You know, so like a guy like Carter in particular, his value is going to go skyrocketing. A guy like Wayne Simmonds, especially you got Philadelphia, obviously new GM, looking to do something. So, you know, I don't want to focus specifically on these two players, but I think they're great examples for the question that I'm asking you. Players like that, you know, and so are these players, again, that you're specifically like, okay, I'm going to maybe try and get them now if I can get them at a good price trade-wise, or if I have room on my roster, I'm going to pick them up and stash them because I think in the next month they're going to get traded. Is that a smart strategy in your mind, or that sort of pushing it too much? You know, you're making too much of a sacrifice for that, you know, to sort of start doing right now. So what's your feeling on targeting players that you think will probably get traded to a contender, like this early in season or in the next coming weeks? You know, how important of a strategy is that to do or not do, to not jump the gun? George?
I mean, not to throw rain on your parade here, but none. Don't even think about it.
Yeah.
It means little to nothing to me that teams are talking about trade for a couple of reasons. One, everyone's always talking trade. Most trades that you hear, the rumor, they don't happen. Even on trade deadline day, they don't happen. We're disappointed every year. You know, we're sort of suckers when you think about it. Every year, oh, you know, there's going to be a lot of trades, trade deadline day, right? February 28th, a lot of trades going down. And then, oh, yeah, a lot of trades, they're all minor ones. Ones that you really don't care about. The big names rarely go here. And you think they're going to go sooner? You know, they're going to go sooner? They're going to go now? No. I mean, sure, one might happen. But I'm not going to adjust my fantasy team around it. Plus, you know, think about this. All right, you mentioned, you know, players on bad teams that could go. Jeff Carter, Simmonds. That's okay, they could. But, you know, on those bad teams, they're probably playing top minutes. They get traded to a good team. Maybe not so much. May not be on power play one. You know, it may not be on the, you know, top line. Maybe dropped where they're going to play, you know, power play two, 40 seconds of the power play, where they're going to play with less talented players on second line or third line than where they are now. So, the grass isn't always greener. That's the other thing there. So, no, I don't pay attention to it at all as far as fantasy is concerned. Don't really care. I'm not adjusting my team before it. I think most of these trades won't happen. You know, an overwhelming majority won't happen. You know, we'll hear about everything and anything and everything, but most won't happen here. So, no, I'm not adjusting my fantasy team one little bit hoping for this to happen.
Well, you know, for the splashy, excitement of the of the question, yes, your answer might be a little bit disappointing, but this is actually the reason why I'm asking you this question. So our listeners don't necessarily jump ahead and jump the gun and maybe make some of these mistakes for the reasons that you're saying. Because you're right, every year we have so many players. This day we got these 12 players at TSN and a lot of other websites, but TSN in particular, the Canadian website, you know, always have their trade bait list of players that's about 30 players long. And every year they constantly update it, and only about 25 to 30% of those players actually move, you know. But like I said, this is one of the reasons why I'm asking you, you know, sort of put that seed of thought in people's minds to give them that perspective of you know, okay, you keep an eye on these guys, put them on your watch list, but don't jump the gun here and make sort of, a mistake where you're picking up, even if you're picking them up off the waiver wire, and you're getting this guy who's not really producing very well right now, and then you just have them sort of lingering and taking up a roster spot that you really need or you really can use. So, you know, keep that in mind. All right, George, well, I am going to ask you about a couple of these teams, you know, just to sort of get the ball rolling, you know, on this talk. And, again, this is just sort of speculative. I'm just kind of wanting to get your perspective on what you think the teams are sort of likely to do. Are you on board that you think that they're going to be sort of sellers, you know, whether it's sooner or later, you know. But L.A. is sort of the obvious team to start with because they are having such a difficult year. They've tried to make some changes. It doesn't really seem to be working. Are you looking at this team and expecting a fire sale, or is that just not realistic? And are there any players in particular you say, oh, this player is much more likely to go than another? You know, so if you're Rob Blake, are you looking to lose for Hughes now, or at least at this point with what you've seen, or you still think that they've, you know, maybe going to try and turn things around in one way or another? So do you ultimately, do you think there's going to be a fire sale here outside of Kopitar and Doughty? George?
I mean, veteran team, I do think they realize that, oops, we made a mistake. We're playing in the NHL from a decade ago, you know, 15, 20 years ago. We're not playing in today's NHL where it's all about speed, quickness, skating. You know, they're still a heavy team that doesn't do a lot of that speed skating. So I think they're starting to realize that. But to say you're going to trade all these guys, I mean, a lot of these guys have big contracts. I mean, it's going to be tough to move them, at least for anywhere where you feel is equal return. Plus, how much value are they going to have to another team? You know, once again, these guys are old plotters. You know, they're good players. I mean, they're good names. They're all over names. But to say they're going to be able to move them, I think it's going to be a problem here. But I do think the Kings are starting to realize, oh, crap. You know, we built a team for 15 years ago. We forgot that the NHL has changed. You know, not their exact words. I think they're starting to realize that they don't have a team for today's NHL.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think that's just it. I think the contracts is exactly it. That's going to be the thing that sort of avoids there being a full fire sale here. I mean, Toffoli, $4.6 million. I mean, if he was Toffoli from 2.5, 3 years ago, there'd be a lot of interest there. But he just has not produced. Like, I'm really surprised with his fall off. You were talking about, you know, Schneider. And I wouldn't put Toffoli on the same level because, you know, Schneider had a much longer resume of success. Toffoli, but I'm just sort of surprised he has sort of fallen off as much as he has. You know, Carter, I think Carter is sort of the most likely, theoretically speaking, I think they're being the most interest in him. He can play the wing, he can play center, he's got a proven track record of being a scorer, but, you know, he reportedly loves playing in L.A., and he has a no-trade, and actually he doesn't have a no-trade clause now that I'm looking at it, you know, but there are rumors that if they traded him and it was, or they wanted to trade him and it was somewhere he didn't want to go, he'd just retire. At least that's what Bob McKenzie was speculating last night when I was watching him, you know, so obviously that adds a big wrinkle there. So I think the most likely guys to move, and I do think one of these two guys are going to move, is really from the back end, Muzzin and Martinez, you know, even though Martinez is injured at the moment. You know, because, yeah, even though these guys are a little bit more slower and plotting, they're going to be more of your second or even third pair defensive. Muzzin would certainly be second pair, you know, or Martinez would be a third pair defensive. But everybody always needs defensemen, you know, and even though they don't have cheap contracts, the $4 million that they're both making isn't astronomical. Jonathan Quick is the guy that I'm wondering about because, and yes, Philadelphia is obviously the team that first comes to mind here, you know, and the most obvious connection that you're going to make. You know, I know L.A. really has a high level of respect for him, so I think it's going to be one of those things where, you know, if Jonathan Quick is realistic at all to be traded, I think it's one of those things of, like you've talked about Henrik Lundqvist a couple times in the last year, of the organization going to him and saying, what do you want to do? You're our guy. You're iconic to this organization. We love you. It is what it is here. Do you want to move? Because if you want to move, we'll make that happen for you. You know, because, you know, whether there's going to be a fire sale in L.A. or not this year, it's going to be, just like we've talked about a number of times in the last year or two, when L.A. does get to the point where they're turning it over, it's going to be ugly, and it's going to be at least a couple of years long. Does Jonathan Quick, who has another 4 years on his contract after this, want to spend the next 2 or 3 years, in a bottom dweller? And, you know, especially at his age of 32 years old, where he's got a couple of legitimately really good years left, at least, you know, potentially, you know, where he could go to L.A. And that's what I'm saying. If he ended up in L.A., you know, and again, just using or Philadelphia, you know, not saying that, you know, Philadelphia is definitely going to happen, of course, or that he'd necessarily solve all the problems if he got traded there. But, like, he can go there, and obviously goaltending is such a big amount of a problem there. You know, that you would imagine it's a huge uptick, and it solves a lot of the issues there. You know, so is that appealing to him? I think that's the big sort of question mark. I would say that I expect Quick to stay. I don't think necessarily Quick's going to want to move, but I think it's sort of the interesting thing here. So I certainly expect one of those defensemen to go. I think it's a fait accompli between now and the deadline. I'm not saying anything's going to happen in the next couple of weeks, you know, or even before the All-Star break. But I think it's the one obvious and realistic thing that they could do to move, because you're not really moving anybody. You're not moving Tanouf, you know. Dowdy's obviously solidified in there, you know. You can't move, you know, Dustin Brown. I think Toffoli is unappealing unless they're going to pick up some of that contract, you know. So I expect stuff to happen here, but I don't think it is going to be a fire sale. All right, George, well, I'm tempted to delve in a little bit more, but we are starting to push it on time, and we definitely have the next couple of weeks to really sort of sink our teeth into this conversation of trade speculation, teams that are looking to move players and specific players into itself. So I'm going to call it here for now, partially because I'm having trouble talking as well. So, George, I'm going to let you go as I wrap things up and just remind our listeners, as always, that every Monday, every Friday, 2 o'clock, we're here. But, of course, you can listen to us at any time. Just going to our homepage at blogtalkradio.com, and all of our shows are listed. Just scroll down to the bottom of the page. You can listen to anything recent or from the past. Either way, have a good hockey weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you on Monday.